Father, we bless you for this time. We bless you and thank you for all that you bring forth. Agarabashikri Sarvari Mazan. Father, we bless you and thank you for what you're bringing forth in our lives. We know, Lord, that you have called us to be a house of prayer, Father. A house of prayer for the nations. And we need to understand what that means, Father. We need to understand, O God, how we are to pray and what we are to pray. You have given us the word of God, and we are required to proclaim it, Father. We are to proclaim it, O God, in thought, word, and in deed. We are to proclaim it in all that we say, in all that we do, Father. For the word of God is glorified according to all of your name. And we need to discover, O God, that reality. Because you will honor your word, because it is your word. Because you are watching over your word to perform it, Father. And if we pray your word, it will be done, Father. It's only a question of your appointed time coming forth by the Spirit. So teach us, O God, to pray by the Spirit in the witness of blood, water, and Spirit. Teach us to pray in that witness in the name of Jesus, so that we will release His fullness as unveiled in His Word, so that it will fill all in all. Enable us to have that understanding. Enable us to have that conviction. Enable us to pray your righteousness, Father. Enable us to pray the word of the cross. Enable us to declare, Father, the resurrection of the Lamb. Enable us to declare all things in the reality of the Lion and the Lamb, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let His glory be unveiled, O God, as we are manifested, the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, Father, both Jew and Gentile, as we are manifested, O God, as a house of prayer. So, Father, today, Lord, anoint us afresh, Father. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, with the desire, O God, to pray, to test, glorify, to intercede, Father. Declare, O God, that all things stand in the knowledge of thee, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week we talked about praying in the name of Jesus. And we said that if we do all things in the name of Jesus, if we can express our prayer entirely in the fullness of Jesus Christ, it will be done, it will be performed. Today we want to go deeper into the subject of prayer, and we want to talk about the word in prayer. How do we pray the word? What should we expect when we pray the word? Why has God given us the word? Right? Let's start with a passage of scripture that we are all familiar with. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. And here the Lord tells us that we are to understand that God is watching over His word to perform it. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and it reads like this from verse 11. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "I see a rod of an almond tree." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." I'm watching over my word to perform it. Now, this is why it is important to pray the word of God instead of our own emotions and our own understanding of things. Because the word of God carries the will of God. The word of God has the intent of unveiling what God wants to do. And it's no great surprise that God will do what He wants to do. And the key, the skill of prayer is to understand what God wants to do. Right? The skill of prayer, and prayer is a skill. It is probably one of the greatest skills that the believer can carry. It is a skill that we need to develop forever. It is a skill by which we can move things in heaven and in earth. It is a skill by which we can see the hand of God unveiled. It is a skill by which we can see the manifestation of the finger of God. It is a skill by which we can see the unveiling of the sword of the Spirit to cut through all darkness, to open the hearts and minds of people that they may hear the voice of the Lord. The skill of prayer is something we must understand. And the skill of prayer is developed through the witness of the cross And the witness of the cross is a witness of blood, water, and spirit. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10 says that he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. 1 John chapter 5 verse 8 says that that witness is defined in blood, water, and spirit. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7, King James Bible, says that there is a witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And there is a witness on earth, verse 8, blood, water, and spirit. And we need to understand that we are connected to the witness of God. And that witness, that connection exists as long as we are praying God's word, as long as we are declaring God's testimony, as long as we are proclaiming what God has desired. So we come together as a people of God, we learn those scriptures, we hear the scriptures, we hear the exposition of the scriptures. And we must understand that the Word of God is meant to be performed. That the Word of God is meant to be unveiled. The Word of God is meant to be fulfilled. That right from the start, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the intent of all Scripture is fulfillment. The intent of all Scripture is that it will be performed. And so we must learn to unveil the Word of God. We must learn to speak forth the Word of God. And we must learn to, when we pray in tongues, to energize the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. To energize the meanings in the Word of God. Because the Word of God carries more than what we understand of it. Today we understand the Word of God on the surface. But in Psalm 138 verse 2, it is said that the word of God is glorified according to all of God's name. Now that is a reality of the word that we barely know. The realm of the word that is according to all of God's name. And that's why we need to understand that that realm of the word is a mystery. It is a realm of the word that God wants us to energize by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit searches the depths of God. And the Word of God is meant to reveal the name of God. It is meant to tell you who God is and all that God is. And we are all duty bound to discover the Word of God. We are all duty bound to receive the Word of God. And we are all duty bound to learn how to release the Word of God through prayer. Because prayer is the most powerful instrument that the church possesses, that the body of Christ possesses. Because through prayer we can go into the past, through prayer we can go into the present, through prayer we can transform things in the present. Through prayer, God has given us the ability to do all that He has ordained in Jesus' name. We must learn to pray in Jesus' name. That was the subject last week. Today we want to talk about the church being the body of Christ, the church being a house of prayer. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 56. Right? Isaiah chapter 56. Verse 6. Let's start from verse 6. Alright, let's start from verse 3. Very powerful prophetic passage. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Right, the foreigner, the non-Jew. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree, for thus says the Lord. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and hold fast my covenant. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. So the mountain of God is a house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. If you have a King James Bible, it says all the nations. All right, so my house will be called a house of prayer. Now we are all individually a house in the making. We are all individually tabernacles in the making. And one of the ways in which God wants to create us is in the realm of prayer. God wants us to know how to pray. God wants us to understand how to pray. And we need to understand that the Word of God is what makes prayer. The Word of God is what unveils prayer. We must understand why we are praying, and we must understand what is purposed in prayer. Because God has purpose in prayer. We are not praying for the sake of praying. We are not praying out of religious obligation. We are praying because we want to bring forth something that God has put in our hearts. We want to see our prayer performed. We want to see our prayer being fulfilled. We want to see our prayer unfold. We want to see fulfillment. We want to see the unveiling of the hand of God. So we pray that God will unveil His hand. And Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11 and 12 tells us that God is watching over His word to perform it. So the smart man says that prayer is meant to be the prayer of the word. If you pray the word, God will perform it because He is watching His word. If you can make sure that your witness manifests the word of God in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, God will fulfill His Passover. God will manifest His Passover. You remember the Passover? When the people of God were brought out of Egypt into the promised land. The Passover was celebrated with that intent in hand. The Passover exists in many different levels. But at all levels, it manifests the reality of salvation. When we are born again, we leave the Egypt of the world and we enter into the promised land that is the kingdom of God. And the purpose of prayer is to facilitate this. The purpose of prayer is to facilitate this. This transference from out of Egypt into the kingdom of God, to manifest this prayer. Now that is one example of God watching over His word to perform it. Like I said, Psalm 138 verse 2 says that God has glorified His name according to all of His word. Or rather, God has glorified His word according to all of His name. Right? And that's very important for us to understand. Right? That the word of God stands in the reality of who God is and all that God is. And we are required to pray it in. We are required to pray it in rather than our emotions. Okay. Today we want to start about praying through the Word of God. And all of the Word of God starts with something called the Word of the Cross. The Word of the Cross. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. For the Word of the Cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. So the purpose of the Word of God is one very simple thing. It is to manifest the power of God. If you have a King James Bible, I think it translates the word logos as gospel or message. All right? One of those words. Okay? I can't remember now. But you need to understand that the Word of God, the Word of the Cross, is meant to manifest the power of God. You know that the word of the cross is developed in a witness within you. It is a witness that becomes part and parcel of your being. That witness is in blood, water, and spirit. Blood, water, and spirit represents the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The word of the cross is meant to develop that witness. It is meant to define that witness. It is meant to build the roots of that witness inside of you. The word of the cross, right? Let's look at verse 30. The word of the cross is to be to us, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now all of these words are words that unveil through the word of the cross. Wisdom, right? To the ways of the world, the cross is foolishness. People can't believe how God can touch us by the sacrifice of one person. You have heard the arguments of non-Christians arguing with us and telling us that that is nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. But to us who are being saved, it makes abundant sense. In fact, it is the wisdom of God, because God has changed us. And we know that there has been a power manifested in us to bring that change. And understanding the word of the cross is the basis of wisdom. Understanding the word of the cross. Understanding what God has released through the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't give us. He gave his only begotten Son. And his only begotten Son is to be revealed from each of us. And the most powerful instrument of the revelation of Jesus Christ is through prayer. Because prayer paves the way. Prayer clears the spiritual atmosphere. Prayer manifests the authority of God. Prayer declares the word of God. Prayer unfolds the testimony of Jesus. Prayer has got power to open the way in the spiritual realm, to smash through all of that darkness that covers the earth. To smash through it, to destroy the works of idolatry, to destroy the works of sorcery, to destroy the works of witchcraft, to destroy the strongholds of lust, to destroy the strongholds of homosexuality, to destroy the strongholds of every kind of sexual perversion, to destroy the strongholds of anger, to release peace, to release joy. And these are things you have to unveil from your witness. That when you pray by the Spirit, you manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is peace. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is kindness. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is goodness. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. One of the good fruits of the Holy Spirit is goodness. Hello? The fruits of the Holy Spirit represent the nature of Jesus Christ. The nature that he gave us through the cross. The nature that he communicates to us through the cross. It is because the nature of Jesus Christ is communicated through the cross. That's why you and I can change. That's why our hard hearts can be made into hearts of flesh. That's why our hearts of stone can be transformed into hearts of flesh. You are supposed to know that. You are supposed to understand that. And you are supposed to release that reality in prayer. You are supposed to release that reality into the atmosphere of the earth. Because you know that that is true. Because you know that that is the truth. And it is the truth that will set people free. So the word of God is the wisdom of God. And you must appreciate the wisdom of the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't send him on a chariot. He didn't send him riding on a white horse, although he will come the second time riding on the white horse. But he came to unveil his heart on a cross. He came to manifest his love for us. He came to forgive us. He came to give us a faith and a love that will transform our lives. All that you find on the cross. The word of the cross is the foundation of prayer. You pray from the cross. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is revealed in five offerings. The sin offering, the guilt offering, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering. The sin offering is for unintentional sin. The sin that cripples man without him even understanding it.
You and I have the power to manifest the sin offering. You remember Numbers chapter 28 verse 2? In the New American Standard it says, "You shall be careful to present my offering." You shall be careful to present my offering. You can only manifest the offering of Jesus Christ from the altars of your heart by the word of the cross. And the word of the cross says that Jesus has set us free from unintentional sin. And we can pray that into a specific person's life, or we can pray that into the body of Christ. We can pray that over the nations. We can pray that into the sons of Abraham. And we need to continuously pray that, because there will come a time when God will actually perform His word. Now, when He chooses to perform His word, how He chooses to perform His word, in what manner He chooses to perform His word, that is His sovereign will. But you and I must understand that there will come a time when God will perform His word. It is written that God is watching over His word to perform it, and He will surely do it. Because the highest realm of God's word is something called the word of the oath. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 28. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 28, which says that the word of the oath that came after the law. And we are all charged to discover this word of the oath, because God will perform that word. The word of the oath is according to all of God's name. And because it stands in who God is and all that God is, it will be performed. Because no one, there is no force in the universe that can make God deny His name. And you and I must understand that. That the responsibility to unveil the word of the oath is given to each and every one of us. It is given to the body of Christ. But we are so busy playing church. We are so busy practicing our politics. We are so busy proclaiming our denominations. We are so busy proclaiming the doctrines of man as the word of God that we are missing out on the awesome word of God that we are charged to being responsible with to unveil. So all things in the word of God come from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The word of the cross is the foundation of the word of God. If there was no cross, there would be no meaning to the entire word of God. If there was no cross, there would be no fulfillment of the law. There will be no fulfillment of the prophets. There will be no fulfillment of the Psalms. And nothing can be fulfilled. Because God has ordained that the fullness of Jesus Christ will fill all in all. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is unveiled from us through the cross. It is unveiled from the altars of our heart. You and I have that responsibility. We are not here to play church. We are not here to fill up buildings. We are here to proclaim the testimony of Jesus. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy means it releases the spirit of fulfillment. And the purpose of prayer is fulfillment. It is not to fulfill a religious obligation. God hates obligations. He despises those who come to Him because they are obligated. The message of the Bible is that you come to God because you love Him. And you are called to love Him because the word of the cross is a message of love. And we are called to receive that love, to develop that love in our lives and release it through prayer. You cannot release what you don't have. It is more than just speaking in tongues. It means that you must unveil the witness of the cross. You must unveil what God has purposed in the cross. And the first thing that God has purposed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is to release the human race from unintentional sin. Right? You remember what happens when the blood of the sin offering is sprinkled? After that, it is sprinkled before the veil that goes into the holy place or the tent of meeting. Before man can meet with God, he must be atoned for his unintentional sins. When you pray for salvation, for your relatives or for whoever, you need to pray for that realm of unintentional sin so that they will suddenly come alive to the Word of God. Otherwise, they can't hear. Because through unintentional sin, Satan holds the hearts and minds of the human race, holds it in unbelief, holds it in arrogance, holds it in rebellion. And people think that they are doing the right thing because they don't understand. But you and I understand. You and I know. So instead of scolding and talking about all these things, it is time for us to go back into our prayer closets and release the word of the cross. Release the reality of the sin offering. Because Christ didn't die for Christians. He died for the whole world. And we still have not heard that. So one of the things we should be doing is not to pray condemnation, but to pray forgiveness. Because he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." He prayed that prayer over those who crucified him. He prayed that prayer over those who whipped him and spat on him and ridiculed him. And you must understand that if Jesus Christ could speak that over those who spat on him and ridiculed him and laughed at him, those who brought false witness against him, those who drove nails into his body, those who made fun of him, if he could do that, then we have here the secret to open the hardest hearts in the world. Provided you can have the conviction that it will come through. Provided you can carry the conviction of the faith of Jesus and manifest it in prayer. That all of those hard hearts, you see the failure of the church is we have stopped proclaiming Jesus Christ. We are proclaiming Christianity. That Jesus Christ is being masked by this religion called Christianity. That his heart and his love, his faith is not being released. We are proclaiming our silly doctrines. And we are missing the whole point. There is no doctrine without Jesus Christ. The word doctrine has got no meaning without Jesus Christ. If we proclaim the doctrine of God, it only exists because we have come alive to God by Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who reveals the I am of God. You see, without Jesus Christ, there is no meaning to the whole doctrine of God. It cannot be alive without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no meaning to the whole Bible because it will never come alive without the life of Jesus. It will never come alive without the Spirit of Christ. It will never save people. It will never open their hard hearts without the fullness of Jesus Christ being manifested. And the cross is about the manifestation of the fullness of Jesus Christ. The cross is about Jesus manifested, his faith released, his love released, his nature released. The will of God unveiled. The nature of God unveiled. The heart of God unveiled. The cross is the center of Christian faith. There is no Christianity without the cross. And the church is charged with unveiling the word of the cross. So that requires wisdom. The second word that comes out of verse 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, is something called righteousness. Right? Righteousness, doing the right thing. The right thing can only be done in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Because Jesus Christ fulfills the prophets. Because Jesus Christ fulfills the Psalms. Righteousness does not come by practice of the law or by practice of principles. Righteousness comes when the principle is revealed in Jesus Christ, when the principle is established in Jesus Christ, when the law is seen in the light of the rising of Jesus Christ. So thou wilt not kill is replaced by the nature of Jesus Christ that has got no desire to kill. Thou wilt not commit adultery is replaced by the nature of Jesus Christ that has got no desire to commit adultery. And do you realize that in prayer we have the opportunity to release that nature? We have the opportunity to release the fulfillment of all of God's laws into someone who has got no peace. We can manifest the peace of the Sabbath rest of the Lord, because Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. And we can, in prayer, release peace into the lives of other people. You see, all of the Word of God is abundantly and eminently practical. It is practical as long as it stands in the name of Jesus. As long as the Word of God is explained in the Spirit and life of Jesus. As long as the Word of God is explained in the faith and love of Jesus, it will manifest life. And through prayer, we have the opportunity of releasing that life. And when you release something of Jesus Christ, you are walking in righteousness. Because Jesus Christ is the personification of the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ is Yahweh's Tzidkenu unveiled. And the world needs the righteousness of God. The intentions of man change with time and season. The intentions of man change with our emotions, depending on what time of the day it is. But the righteousness of God that stands in the witness of the cross is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will never change. It will stand there. It will stand there as a rock that cannot be shaken. The heavens may fall, the earth may crumble. But the word of the Lord will stand forever. That is the word of God. Amen. And you and I are given the Word of God. We are not here sitting on a Sunday just to hear some nice things about how God has blessed us. Hello, it is time for us to understand that it is our job to go out and bless. Now the fundamentals of blessing start in your prayer closet. If you do not pray a blessing into somebody's life, you don't really care for that person. If you do not understand what prayer can do, then how can you go and preach to that person? Because it is prayer that prepares the ground. It is prayer that sinks Satan at your feet. It is the word of God that will skewer Satan like a pig. Right? It is the word of God that you and I are called to release. Okay? So we must appreciate that. Because the Word of God has the potential of being released in righteousness. Secondly, sanctification. The third word that is mentioned there, sanctification. Sanctification means make holy. Make ready. Right? And we have the power to release the sanctifying presence of God. Sanctification comes from the name of God. The name of God, Yahweh Mukadesh. I am who I am. I am the God who sanctifies. And through the cross, God has released His name in sanctification. And how much the church needs sanctification. Hello. How much the word needs sanctification. The church needs sanctification. Right? How much the church needs to have this conviction that we are serving the Master, that we are charged with glorifying Him. We are not charged with building our empires. We are charged with releasing the power of the Lord. And so this reality of sanctification, of belonging to God, of being holy unto Him, of being set apart unto Him, it has to come out of the cross. Because through the cross, one of the sacrifices that God releases is called the burnt offering. In the burnt offering, the entire animal was cut, it was skinned, it was washed, it was put on the altar, and it was fired. The burnt offering is the offering of consecration. Holiness unto the Lord. And that is the prayer that must be manifested in the church. And we need to pray that prayer into the church morning and evening. Because in the Old Testament, the two compulsory offerings that were executed in the morning and evening was the sin offering for unintentional sin and the burnt offering of consecration. After the sin offering came the burnt offering. Consecration is a must, and consecration starts with the body of Christ. We must understand that we are His body. We are His people set apart for His purposes. We are called to do His work. We are not called to do our thing. See, so much of what we are doing is just the righteousness of man. And we need to unveil the righteousness of God. Now, without this idea of sanctification, without this idea of the church entering her Sabbath rest, learning how to rest in God, allowing God to be God, to cease striving and to know that God is God. Amen. To enter that rest that God has for us. God has prepared a rest. We are to be unveiled in a rest. The rest means that we are charged with unveiling the works of God. And the works of God are the works of God. It is the work of God through each one of us. And we need to understand that. We need to pray that into the church. That we will minister in the name of Jesus and not in our own names. Not in the names of our denominations. Not in the names of our doctrines. We should preach the name of Jesus. We should proclaim the name of Jesus. We must manifest the name of Jesus. Because everything in the name of Jesus will be done. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. And sanctification is the process by which we realize that all things must be done in the name of Jesus. Because He went on the cross. Because it is His fullness that will change the hearts of man, not our efforts. Don't get me wrong. All efforts must be in the name of Jesus. When the effort is in the name of Jesus, that effort will bear fruit. I repeat it, it will bear fruit. It is not may bear fruit, it will bear fruit. Because there is no force in the universe that can stop the name of Jesus from bearing fruit. And that awesome treasure is invested in the church. It is invested in your heart, it is invested in my heart, and we are doing nothing about it. We are so loyal to our churches. What about some loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ for a change? What about putting Jesus first? What about proclaiming Him first? How about bowing before Him instead of bowing down before silly men? How about declaring Him? How about glorifying Him? How about magnifying Him? The purpose of prayer is to magnify and glorify God. And if you don't have an understanding of the cross, you will never be able to glorify God. Because the reason to glorify God is written in your heart in the word of the cross. Because if you don't appreciate the God who came to you on the cross, don't think if you stand in the Holy of Holies, you will appreciate the glory of God. You won't. Because there was a bloke called Lucifer who did not. To love God comes out of the cross. To love God is a reality that unveils from the cross. To love God is something that God has to bring into your heart through a process of sanctification. The burnt offering is holiness unto God. And finally, redemption. What is redemption? Salvation completed. Salvation completed results in redemption. You are set free from every kind of bondage. Whether it's healing, whether it's a bondage of behavior, whether it's a thinking process, whether it's an emotional process, right? Redemption is the fulfillment of the Word of God. Redemption is what the Word of God is purposed to fulfill ultimately. The Word of God, the Word of the cross, is designed to redeem. It is designed to bring change and transformation into man. And that change and transformation in man is described in three offerings. The first is called the guilt offering that sets us free from the weaknesses of our character and our nature. The second offering is the meal offering. It expresses the way we act towards one another. It expresses the reasons why we do something. The third offering is called the peace offering, and it represents intimacy. So the ultimate reality of redemption is a people who will love God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength. And it will be evidenced in their love for each other. The purpose of the cross is to teach us to love each other and to love God. The purpose of the cross is to fulfill the law of God. And as the word of the cross is released into you, you will come to love God. And that is so crucial to everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed. It is so crucial that we understand that. It is so crucial that we express that in prayer. So the word of the cross, the foundation of prayer. The word of the cross, the foundation of prayer. So learning how to pray, the word of the cross, is the basis of all prayer. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and we are charged with communicating that message. And the foundation place at which that message is released is in prayer. Before the evangelistic meetings, there should be the prayer that says that the word of the cross unveils the way, the truth, and the life. So praise the Lord. God wants you to discover the word of the cross. Praise the Lord. Alright, let's look at verse 22. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. It will always be a stumbling block and foolishness until you make a breakthrough in prayer. It will always be a stumbling block and foolishness until you make the breakthrough in prayer. Because the spirit of unbelief can only be broken through prayer. That is the basis of the prayer that is called the prayer of intercession. The travailing prayer. That the heart will be opened to the voice of the Lord. That the heart will be opened to the word of the cross. So the word of the cross, if a person cannot hear the gospel at the cross, he's not going to hear it anywhere else. Even if you take him to heaven. That's one of the things that the human race does not seem to understand. Everything begins at the cross. If you can't accept the Lord your God at the cross, how will you ever accept him? That's why when Adam and Eve fell, the first thing that God did was he sacrificed a lamb. And he clothed them with the skin of that animal. That's why in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8, it says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundations of the world. Because no foundations could be laid without that sacrifice. Because the answer to sin is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ unveils perfect faith and perfect love that can transform the hard hearts of men, that can transform rebellion into holiness, that can transform sinfulness into righteousness, that can transform unfaithfulness into faithfulness, that can transform dishonesty into honesty, that can transform crookedness into integrity, that can transform hate into love, that can transform bitterness into forgiveness, that can transform love, lust into love. Transform evil into goodness, that can transform imperfection into perfection. That's the secret of the cross. That's the power of the cross, to do what is impossible, to make the impossible possible, to fulfill all righteousness. The word of the cross is the bread and butter of the kingdom of God. The word of the cross is the bread of life. Because Jesus Christ came to us unveiling himself as a sacrifice. So the manner of his name is given to us through the cross. It is his body that was broken for us. And the bread of life is an expression of all that is represented by his body that was broken for us. Amen. And we need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to realize that. All prayer begins at the cross. And we are not praying until we have begun to manifest the cross of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that the reality of the cross is a living witness inside of you. That when you pray by the Spirit, it is more than an anointing that you are manifesting. It is more than an anointing. You are manifesting the power of the cross, which includes the anointing. But it's much more than just an anointing. It's the reality of a covenant. It's a reality of a testimony. It's a reality of a promise. It's a reality of a blessing. It's a reality of love. It's a reality of faith. It's a reality of righteousness. It's a reality of truth. And so when we pray in tongues, we must understand that we are bringing forth more than just a mere anointed feeling. We need to unfold the fullness of the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to unveil the mystery of the cross. We need to communicate the blood of the Lamb. We need to communicate the water of the Word. Because the water of the Word cleanses and cleans. And through prayer, the purpose of prayer is to clean. It is to cleanse. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 25. Right? He says, I have sprinkled clean water, and I have cleansed you from all of your idols and from all your filthiness. And the witness of the water of the word is within you and me. Now sometimes we wonder why people say this and why people believe that. Go back in your prayer closet and release the water of the word over their lives. Go back in your prayer closet. If you really love them, if you really care for them, go back in your prayer closet, go to the foot of the cross and pray the release of the testimony of Jesus. Because the testimony of Jesus unveils the water that came out of his side. And that water can clean the hardest heart. Now we must understand this power of prayer. We must understand that everything in the cross is opened in resurrection power. And you and I have the capacity to release that resurrection power, because resurrection power is being manifested in every change that God is bringing inside of you. If there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I will never change. Right? The whole meaning of our baptism is built in resurrection power. We go into His death and we rise into His resurrection. That requires power. The word of the cross is the power of God. The Greek word there is dunamis. That is the power of the cross. The power of the cross is the power of resurrection, to bring forth a new man. And the purpose of the word of the cross is to unfold a new humanity, a new race of man. A race of man who will be holy to God. So you and I must develop that skill in the cross. That skill to pray the reality of the cross. Because if there is no reality of the cross, why on earth should God listen to your prayer? Why? Because you fasted? If your fasting can open the doors of heaven, God would have told you right from the beginning in the law of Moses, just fast and you will be saved. But in the law of Moses, He said it must be a sacrifice. It must be blood that atones for you. And blood is the message of the cross. Blood is not just an airy-fairy spiritual reality. It is described by what Jesus Christ accomplished through the cross. It is described in His faith. It is described in His love. That's why it can cleanse you and me. That's why it can change you and me. That's why it can atone for you. Because in time, the faith and love of Jesus will change our hard hearts into hearts of flesh. His flesh. And we need to understand this. We need to know that. We need to have a crystallized idea in our heart. The witness inside of us must carry that power. It must release that power. Prayer is not airy-fairy nonsense. Prayer is purposeful. It is directed. It is directed by the person of the Holy Spirit. It is directed in the name of Jesus Christ. It is directed by what God purposed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? You must see that. Because nobody can become a son unto God until he realizes the reality of the cross. Because on the cross, the Son was explained. Sonship is explained through the cross. Sonship is communicated to us in His fullness. Grace upon grace, John 1:16. Of His fullness we have all received. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and nobody was saved by the law. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace, unmerited favor. Grace explained to you in the faith and love of Jesus. Truth that sets you free. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is communicated to you as the word of the cross. No cross, no Jesus. You cannot understand Jesus Christ without the cross. So when we pray in tongues, we are praying first in the cross. Because otherwise there's no meaning to our praying in tongues. What are we praying in tongues for? Our own desires to come out, our own ambitions to come out, our own thoughts to come out. You seriously think that the world can be touched with our thoughts and our feelings and our realities and our attitudes? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the purpose of tongues is to manifest the mystery of Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Yes, we function in anointings, but without Christ, what is the purpose of an anointing? Without the name of Jesus, what is the purpose of anything? Because God has ordained that the universe will be filled with all the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is the will of God. And the communication of the fullness of Jesus Christ is through the word of the cross. And we must understand that and we must know that. That conviction must be alive in us. Pray by the Spirit to get that conviction. Because you need that conviction when you pray. You must know God will answer every prayer in the cross. Some prayers He will answer instantly, other prayers it will take time. Because there are other prayers that God has an appointed time for. But we can pray that God will hasten His appointed time. The word of the cross, very important for us to understand. All right, let's go back to verse 22. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. And that's where all prayer begins. Breaking through that foolishness. Enabling people to hear. Amen? All right, let's look at verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, the power of God. The cross is about power. The power of the love of God. The power of His righteousness. The power of the faith of the Lord. The cross is the reality of hope. Cross is the reality of hope. Prayer must manifest hope. Why? Because God looks at the universe with hope. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 19, 20. Verse 21. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Do you know that everything in the universe depends on you and I becoming sons of God? And we can only become sons of God through the word of the cross. We become sons of God when the cross of Jesus Christ is spoken through our lives. When the witness of blood, water, and spirit functions through us. Then we are fulfilling our position as sons of God because we are all purchased in the blood of Jesus. We are sons unto God through blood. We are sons unto God because of the faith and love of Jesus expressed over each one of our lives. And when we receive and realize the faith and love of Jesus, we will come to see Jesus as our beloved. Now the faith and love of Jesus Christ is expressed into you and me through blood. That's why it is so precious. The blood of Jesus Christ is not some magical spiritual reality. It is His faith and His love that can overcome all of the screw-ups inside of us. All of the screw-ups in all of the universe. And the sons of God are charged with the responsibility of realizing that, of knowing that. Of knowing that when we release the name of Jesus, there will be breakthroughs. Because every knee must bow at the name of Jesus. And all these are things we must realize in the conviction of the witness within us. Like I said, the cross is about hope. So the creation is waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. So God subjected us in the hope that He then expresses through the cross. You see, the hope of the Father is defined in the faith and love of the Son. And the faith and love of the Son, unveiled in the hope of the Father, is brought alive to us by the Holy Spirit. And do you realize how powerful that is? That you and I are created to be revealed in the hope that the Father has in His heart. The hope that is to be defined in the faith and the love of the Son, and is to be manifested by the power of the Holy Spirit. How awesome is our creation. It is time for us to appreciate it, that we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why the psalmist writes that the sum total of God's thoughts over our lives are humongous. How great are thy thoughts over me, O God? You know, for you and I to have great thoughts, that's one thing. For God to have great thoughts over you and me, and those thoughts open to us in hope, those thoughts begin to be crystallized in us in the faith and love of Jesus. And don't forget, the faith and love of Jesus come to you through the cross. And it is the Holy Spirit who communicates the cross of Jesus into you and into me. It's a spiritual reality. It has to be spiritually appraised. It cannot be intellectually appraised. The church still insists on intellectually appraising everything. That which is not unveiled from the heart of man will never touch the human race. That's why you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, because if your heart is not open to God, nothing else will be open to God. And the heart is opened only through the cross. Through the cross, God establishes a heart-to-heart relationship between you and Him. And He expressed His hope that this heart-to-heart relationship will be established in the faith and love of Jesus, made alive in us by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to the cross of Jesus Christ? And that's awesome. So let's read verse 20 again. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. See, glory is freedom. Freedom and liberty in the Holy Spirit. Freedom and liberty in the truth. Freedom and liberty in the confidence of the grace of God that you and I have received through the faith and love of Jesus. You see, once you appreciate the cross, you will understand that God is not waiting there with a sledgehammer to smash your fingers every time you make a mistake. That God will not fall off His throne because you and I make mistakes. God is more interested in us responding to Him in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And He will work into us His salvation. Because Jesus Christ died for you. And through His death and resurrection, there is a power available to you. Why don't you receive it? But you can only receive that power through the Holy Spirit. So we cannot dismiss the Holy Spirit as the lesser person of the Trinity. He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. He is co-equal with the Father and the Word. And the part of the church that insists on making the Holy Spirit a subordinate person of the Trinity, a convenience, a theological convenience, will never come alive to the power of the cross. They will keep on going around the wilderness. And it's time for us to stop playing games. It is time for us to understand that we have an obligation to unveil the cross of Jesus Christ. That we are not here to just fill seats in churches. We are here to turn this house into a house of prayer. You are a house of prayer. For the nations, not just for yourself and your family. For the nations, for all peoples. It is time for us to think like kings, not like beggars. It's all very nice to hear in the Word of God that we are sons of God, we are going to be kings, priests, and prophets. Well, start thinking like one. Start praying like one. Don't pray like paupers. Prosperity is prosperity of the heart. Prosperity is the prosperity of love, not money. Verse 21, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Do you know that you and I have the opportunity to communicate in prayer the freedom of the glory of the sons of God? That our prayer must communicate that freedom that you and I have come to receive and to realize. We should not look like as though we are the most sorrowful people around. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ went to the cross because of the joy that he saw when his sacrifice was realized. You find that in the book of Hebrews. I think it is in Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy set before him. All right? We are supposed to receive that joy. We are supposed to prove that there is joy in being a Christian. Hello, I put it to you, brethren, that until and unless we enjoy prayer, we are not going to pray. Hello, until and unless you love prayer, you're not going to pray. And joy and love are the results of receiving the word of the cross. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at verse 23. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. All right? And so we must overcome the pain of being part of this dark world and manifesting the result of what we have received in Jesus Christ. Everything starts with the first fruits. We are the first fruits of the cross. We are the first fruits of the creation. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Christ is the first fruits, but we are the product of everything that he brings forth. And James explains that very brilliantly. James chapter 1 verse 17 and 18. Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. Among his creatures. Right? So we must manifest those first fruits in prayer. Hello. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the day when the Jews celebrate the feast of the first fruits. The feast of the first fruits. The fruits of being children of God. The fruits of being saved. Comes to us through resurrection power. We are called to be a fruitful people. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Do you know that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you, is a reality in prayer? Hello. The moment we ask something from God, It is one of the very foundations of prayer, asking God to be God, asking God to unveil himself, to be the provider, to be the savior, to be the redeemer, to be the strong fortress of our lives, to be the rock of our lives, to be the shepherd of our lives, to be the almighty God who overshadows us, to be the most high God so that we will rise to see him in his glory and be glorified in the glory of God. That he will be our sanctifier, that he will make us a holy people. That he will be our peace, so that the peace within us cannot be shaken. That he will be to us the victory in our lives. Yahweh Nisi. And so on, the list goes on. Alright. So we are a very blessed people. We are called to be fruitful, and our fruit is designed to remain. Hello? Do you realize that that tells you something about prayer? That in prayer you can release things that will remain. That if it is the word of God that you have prayed, it will remain, it will stand there, and nobody can remove it. Are you listening? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Let's turn to Luke chapter 31. Luke chapter 21. Verse 33. Luke chapter 21 verse 33. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But my words will not pass away. Do you understand the power of praying the word of God? Because the word of God will not pass away. Your emotions and my emotions are just here for the day and gone tomorrow. But everything we learn how to establish in the name of God through his word, it will not pass away. Amen? Let's look at another thing, right? Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17 to 18. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law, until all is accomplished. So it is the will of God to fulfill the law. So if it is the will of God to fulfill the law, you can pray the fulfillment of the law, and it will be accomplished. Are you listening? So you have someone who is committing adultery. You can pray the fulfillment of the law in his life. Now you may not understand how that can be prayed, but you can pray in the spirit. And he will manifest the mystery of fulfillment over that person's life. Hello? Don't sit there and question it intellectually. You can't understand fulfillment. Because fulfillment is not something of the capacity of man. And people will say, oh, that's not true. I can go and fulfill everything that I want to set my mind to. Yes, you can fulfill something. Only thing is you can't remain fulfilled. Hello. Yes, you can go and do something and claim that it is fulfilled. But I guarantee you that it won't be there in 10 years' time or 20 years' time or 100 years' time. Certainly it won't be there in 1,000 years' time. I don't care who the heck you are. But that which is accomplished in the name of the Lord, it will remain forever. And that's what we must understand. When God talks about fulfillment, he says it will be done and it will remain. It will grow. It will not remain like that. It will not only be fulfilled, it will continue to grow because it is living. Because my life works in it, says the Lord. Praise the Lord. So prayer is an awesome tool. It's an awesome skill that the church should develop and manifest. Learn how to pray. One day you will see prayer answered instantly. Do you understand how powerful it will be when you start discovering that? Look at the life of Jesus. How many prayers were answered instantly? prayers were answered instantly at the speed of thought. He thought it, he wanted it, and God said amen to it. Do you know that the true and faithful witness that we are talking about, Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, is the amen of God? And that true and faithful witness is inside of you and me, in blood, water, and spirit, that it is the manifestation of a new creation. Do you realize that you are being created so that you can pray the amen of God? And the amen of God comes out of a cross. No amen without the cross. So we need to open our eyes and discover the glory of being sons of God. Glory of being vessels of the living God. Everything starts with a small beginning in the kingdom of God. And God will lay into you things line upon line, precept upon precept. All prayer begins with 5 minutes. Hello, you're not going to wake up one day and start praying for 2 hours. That can happen, by the way. But it is what is built from the 5 minutes into the 10 minutes into the 20 minutes that will remain forever. God can, by his anointing, make you pray. After that, when the anointing lifts, you're back to square one. Right? But whatever is built into you, in the name of Jesus, it will continue forever. And you must understand that. You must know that. You must appreciate it. You must see the vision of that. Amen. Hello, it's time for us to shine in the prayer closet. It is time for us to release the bright morning star from our hearts and let his light go forth. It is time to skewer that pig called Lucifer. It is time to make him run. We have run enough. We've been kicked around enough. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of that. Praise the Lord. Yeah? Hello. It is time for you to understand you are a warrior. And you are a warrior only in the prayer closet. It is in the prayer closet that the church is transformed into soldiers of the cross. That's where the process is. That's where we make the breakthroughs. That's where we shatter the strongholds. That's where we kick the devil in the teeth. And that's not emotion. You have to do it with the word of God. You have to do it with the knowledge of God. You have to do it with the truth. And Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, "Thy word is truth." Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Time for us to celebrate Holy Communion. And Holy Communion was released to us through prayer. Verse 15. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." This is both a confession and a prayer. It's a declaration in prayer. He says, "With fervent desire I have desired," King James Version, right? "To eat this Passover with you before I suffer." There is a Passover that God wants to manifest in the realm of prayer. He wants to take you into his mountain. He wants you to occupy positions in the mount of the Lord. He wants you to occupy positions as eagles. He wants you to strike using the sword of the Spirit, unveiling the finger of God. Hello. The finger of God writes the word of God within you. I put it to you that when the word of God is released through you, it unveils also in the finger of God. And the finger of God is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right? It's So Jesus Christ is talking here about something that is very, very necessary in prayer. With fervent desire, I have desired. With fervent desire, I have desired. How is that tied to the cross? Because when Jesus went to the cross, he prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweat blood. I put it to you, brethren, that that is the highest level of fervent prayer and fervent desire. And Jesus carried that prayer to the cross. And that prayer enabled him to go through the cross. That prayer enabled him to stand steadfast and true to God. That even when the Holy Spirit left him and he cried out, yet he completes all things by committing his spirit to the Father. And Romans tells us that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and his spirit was declared to be the spirit of holiness. Praise the Lord. Now in this Passover, everything of Jesus Christ that comes inside of us unveils this Passover. We are created in this Passover. And this Passover is to manifest us in the house of the Lord, in the tabernacle of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 verse 1, the fulfillment of the Psalms. All right, and God wants you to realize this position in prayer because it's very powerful. Hello, brethren, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Jesus Christ who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high is also alive in you by the Holy Spirit. Because the last three words that he prayed for before he went to the cross in John 17 says, I in them. Can you see that you have a witness that is tied in the name of Jesus to the right hand of the Most High God? Do you realize that that is a position far above every principality, power, might, and dominion? And as you realize that, that realization is a Passover. A Passover into one and a higher and higher and higher realm of prayer. As you ascend into the Mount of the Lord. As you unveil as a prayer warrior. Do you know that in the Bible it is said that God can come alive in us as a man of war? A lot of things for us to discover. But all that is part and parcel of a Passover. Which is why we celebrate the Passover as often as we can. Because it is a proclamation of what God wants to manifest in us through His Word. It's a declaration of the Passover of the Lamb. So He says, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This Passover, it's about fulfillment. And the Passover that is fulfilled in us, we can reveal it through prayer. We can release it through prayer. See, that is the great and awesome position that we occupy in the kingdom of God. Verse 17 and 18, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. The easiest way you can share something is through prayer. And when you pray through the cross of Jesus Christ, you are sharing the word of the cross in prayer. It clears the way. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus is the true vine. We are his branches. The fruit of the vine come out of the branches. See, God is waiting for us to become fruitful. And through our fruitfulness, we remember what Jesus has done for us through the cross. So we must be fruitful. And our fruit is designed to remain forever. Verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We can only remember the Lord when we become members of his body. Living, functioning members of his body. and living, functioning members of the body of Christ pray. They pray in the morning and they pray in the evening. Paul says that you can pray by the Spirit all the time. That is the work by the Holy Spirit, by the way. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Again, you need to understand that the new covenant is in the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus is in the witness that you carry. And through prayer, you can declare the new covenant. Because the new covenant is an oath that God has sworn in the blood of His Son. And you and I are called to receive that oath and release that oath in prayer. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege, O God, of being able to celebrate this Passover. Because this Passover is being fulfilled in the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile, Father. That in the unveiling of this Passover, there is a new creation being manifested. And that new creation, O God, is the work of God. It is the work of God manifested through the fruits of the cross, Father. All that you have given to us in Christ Jesus. And all that you have given to us in Christ Jesus is being unveiled in a new creation. So we celebrate that new creation, Father, as we celebrate this Passover, knowing that this Passover will be expressed through each and every one of us. And this Passover will be manifested, O God, as a blessing into the creation. So knowing this, Father, we thank you, Father, for all that you have given us in your precious Son. Sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unveiling each one of us, O God, as living expressions of his sacrifice, Father, realized. That we will unveil in this Passover as a new creation that remembers him through all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. And so we pray for this Passover to manifest the fruit of our lives, Lord. That we will remember to the fruits that we manifest. And let those fruits be the fruits that you come forth in your workmanship, Father. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling us as a new creation in Christ Jesus. That we may truly be manifested, O God, as sons of the living God. So we thank you, Father, for this new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And we realize, O God, that realization, Father, is a creative process in our inward parts. That in the substance of his fullness, the bread of life, you are unfolding in our souls and spirit a new creation, Father. A new creation designed to glorify you. A new creation that is entirely the work of your love and your grace. A new creation that is unfolded by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. A new creation that is the fulfillment of the amen of your true and faithful witness, Father. So we celebrate the beginning of that creation in each and every one of us that makes up the body of Christ. The body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places. That house of prayer that you are creating, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for that house of prayer. And we pray, Father, that in the substance of the Master's fullness, that house of prayer will be fashioned, Father. And so we pray for the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy to be manifested into this creation. The bread of the holy to manifest our souls, and the bread of the most holy to unveil our spirits, Father. so that we will be sons of the living God, servants of the Most High God, priests and prophets and kings, Father. Chosen, O God, in your Son, manifested, O God, in his merits, unveiled, O God, by the Holy Spirit. We celebrate this creation in Jesus' name. Amen. We celebrate the drink offering of the Lamb of God, his blood manifested through his faith and his love, manifested in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit, Father. And we realize, O God, that the house of prayer that we are each called to become is going to be unveiled in this witness of blood, water, and spirit. It's going to be a witness that is going to be celebrate the glory of your grace, proclaiming it through prayer, declaring it through worship, manifesting it through the sharing of the word. And we thank you, Father, for this great privilege of being able to function in blood, water, and spirit. We celebrate the fruit that we will bear as we learn to function through this witness by the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.